Ezekiel 34, just go ahead and turn your Bibles over there if you would. We'll begin reading with verse 1. Ezekiel chapter 34. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And they were scattered, because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock. But the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries. And I will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. As for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. Seeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture, but ye must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and to have drunk of the deep waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet. And as for my flock, they eat that which ye have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which ye have fouled with your feet. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God unto them, Behold, even I will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle. Because ye have thrust with side and with shoulder, and pushed all the diseased with your horns, till ye have scattered them abroad. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey. And I will judge between cattle and cattle, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land. And they shall dwell safely in the wilderness, and sleep in the woods. And I will make them, and the places round about my hill, a blessing. And I will cause the showers to come down in his season. And there shall be showers of blessing. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. And they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke, and deliver them out of the hand of those who serve themselves of them. And they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beast of the land devour you. But they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord, their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God, and ye my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. Let's have a word of prayer. Oh, dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your sovereign word. We thank you that this Bible is not full of maybes and ifs. This Bible is full of wills and shalls. Oh, what a great God we have. The shepherd of the sheep. What great grace you've shown upon a people. That you have led us out. You have called us by name. You have revealed yourself to us. Oh, dear God, we pray that this morning you might come amongst us, that you might dwell with us here this morning, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth, in humility. Oh, dear Father, we thank you. We thank you for your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Shepherd of Israel. Oh, what great things he hath done. We praise his name. We praise the name of the triune God of this Bible. And we thank you. We thank you for your love and your kindness, your mercy, your grace. We thank you that you have provided a door. You have called us through it. And Father, we dwell in your dear Son safely. Well, thank you. We love you. We pray, dear Lord, that love would be seen in our lives, that we would go into this world and proclaim our Savior's love to us, not just with our mouths, but with our lives, that it would be seen. Oh, Father, that love would be seen in our lives and it would be manifested within us, that it would be seen among the brethren, that we might be known that we are yours by our love for one another. Oh, dear God, do this great work, we pray, in your dear Son's name. Amen.
Turn your Bibles over to John chapter 10. John 10. We'll read down through verse 10 of John chapter 10. I know there are a lot of people who come to church today to hear a specific message on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If it were not for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, this worship we are about to have would be in vain. We would all need to go home, because if Christ had not risen from the grave, we are of all men most miserable. We have no hope. We would have none. None at all. But he is risen. He is risen. Praise God. And we come here every week and we worship a risen Savior. That's who we worship. Praise God that we have a risen Savior to worship. And I want us to really this morning enter into John chapter 10 by the grace of God and by the Spirit of our Lord, that we might understand more of what Jesus Christ has done for his people, that he has called a people, how he has called them out, the fact that he is the shepherd of his sheep, and what great things that he has done for his people. Beginning in verse 1 of John chapter 10, the scripture says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice,
and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now verse 1 here of chapter 10 says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Now I want us to just jump back over into John chapter 9 for just a moment, because we need to understand who it is that Jesus is speaking to in this text. It seems as if a lot of the commentators, and I did a lot of reading this week, and I don't know if you can read too much, but my eyes are really kind of bothering me here this morning. But I read a lot of commentaries on this, and it seems as if there's a lot of different ideas about what this is saying. I think we need to go back, though, to who the Lord is talking to in John chapter 9. We understand that the Bible is not written in chapter form, that this is a running passage here. And so when we start in verse 34 of John 9, we see they answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. And we remember last week we talked about, and not last week, but the week before last, we looked at Jesus healing the blind man, and this blind man being interrogated really by these Pharisees of the day, and how that the blind man would not budge on what had taken place. He said, this is a great thing. No man has ever been born blind and been healed the way the Lord Jesus has healed me, the way this man has healed me. They wanted this man to claim that Jesus was a sinner. That's what they wanted him to do. They wanted this man to say bad things about Jesus Christ, but he would not do it. He said, I don't know. He said in verse 26, and they said to him again, Who did he see? Oh, and he answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know that, whereas I was blind, now I see. And so he would not go against this one who had healed him. And so when we get down here into verse 37 and 38 of John 9, Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Jesus is revealing himself to this blind man who has been given his sight. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. This is thus one that has received sight. So he worshipped Jesus. He believed on Jesus, and he was saved. Verse 39, And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? So Jesus is speaking now to the Pharisees. Jesus says in verse 41, Jesus said unto them, If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. Now he goes on in chapter 10 to speak to the Pharisees. These words go to these Pharisees that he's speaking to. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. So first thing we need to do is understand a few things about this text. First of all, what is a sheepfold? Well, in ancient Israel, what the sheepfold was is that the shepherds of the sheep, there were many shepherds, and they had little flocks that they would have. And they would each night, because there were wolves and there were dogs, that were prevalent in that area, they would take the sheep and they would all gather them up and put them in these sheepfolds. And they were really fenced in areas made out of rock. That some of them were 10 foot tall, some of them were 12 foot tall. But they would put all of the sheep in there. And at night, they had a man that was the porter of this sheepfold. And he would lie down in front of the door and to make sure that no thieves or robbers or any wild animals could get into the sheepfold. So these men knew, these Pharisees knew exactly what Jesus was speaking of. When he brought this parable to them, when he mentioned the sheepfold, they knew exactly what he was speaking of. Now, we need to understand also what he was saying when he says the same as a thief and a robber. What are these thieves and robbers? Well, thieves in the scripture would be one who steals things. A robber would be one who does it violently. Or he does it, he takes things with force. He breaks in and there's physical harm done and things are taken by force. And so this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying they're not only thieves, they're not only stealing things, but they're also very violent in the way they do these things. So who are these thieves and robbers? Who are they? Well, I think in Ezekiel 34, we get the answer to that. Turn back over to Ezekiel 34. If you look at the first four verses of Ezekiel chapter 34, we find the answer to who this is. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. This would be who these thieves and robbers are. They're the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty. There's that robber, right? With force and with cruelty have you ruled them. And so these thieves and the robbers, of course, they're the Pharisees of the day. They're these ones that Jesus is speaking to right now. He's speaking directly to them about what they have done. They have robbed the people. They have robbed the sheep. They have dealt wickedly with the people here. And so Jesus is calling them out. Well, what is the sheepfold then that is spoken of here in this text? And I think this is a very misunderstood in a lot of commentaries, I believe. But this sheepfold is the visible church at this time. Okay, what was the visible church at this time? It was Judaism, right? If we look at the church throughout the Old Testament, who is it? It would be made up of the children of Israel. It would be made up of the Jewish nation. It is Judaism. The sheepfold spoken of in verse 1 is Israel. Look at, turn back over to Ezekiel real quick. Let me show you. Let's just stay with where this is. And the Pharisees knew this passage of scripture very well. It says, and the word of the Lord came unto me saying, this is verse 1, verse 2, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of what? Of Israel. Of Israel. This would be Judaism. This sheepfold that is spoken of here in this text is Judaism. We also would see it as this in this time that we're in right now, the visible church. There are many that would get in as thieves and robbers. There are many that would come in and want to harm the flock of God. There are many that would. All right, verse 2, it goes on. It says, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, this is talking about a legal entry into this sheepfold. And we know the sheepfold is Judaism. There is another sheepfold. It's mentioned in verse 16, where the Lord says, another sheep I have, which are not of this fold. What would that be? That's another sheepfold. That would be the Gentiles, right? It would be the Gentile church. And so we have two sheepfolds mentioned here. We also have another sheepfold, which would be the true sheepfold of God, which is spoken of at the end of verse 16. He says, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So truly we have three sheepfolds here. But we have this verse 2 speaks of a lawful entry into this sheepfold. Okay, so let's bring the picture here. So let's talk about one of our houses. Let's talk about my house. All right.
So I imagine Mark's probably going to show up this afternoon. I would imagine that's going to happen. It seems to be happening all the time. And so he's going to show up this afternoon, and he's going to come to the door. He's going to come to the front door, and he's going to knock on the front door or in the garage door. He'll knock. That's usually what he does. And the porter will let him in. I'm going to come over, and I'm going to let him in, or somebody's going to let him in. And that's fine. That's lawful. Okay? He can lawfully come into the house that way. Let's say Mark decides to put on his black clothes tonight and come over to the house and climb up the side of the house and try to get his way in the house. That would be unlawfully getting in the house, right? And we would assume that he has something other than something good planned, right? I mean, and that's just the way we would see it. It's unlawful entry. Okay, sorry, I used you as an example, Mark. I know you wouldn't do that. But that would be an unlawful entry into the house. And so we see there's two ways to get in. Well, Jesus was the only one who could lawfully enter into this sheepfold. He was the only one that could come through the door. He was the only one. He fulfilled perfectly all of the law. He fulfilled perfectly the prophecies, right? He fulfilled them perfectly. All of these things spoke of Jesus Christ. And so he didn't come through by climbing over the wall. He came directly through the door and into Judaism, into this sheepfold this way. He fulfilled everything in a perfect way. And so it goes on in verse 3. It says, to him the porter openeth. Now, who's this porter? Well, we could look at it in two ways. I think that what Jesus is first referring to would be John the Baptist. When Jesus came and began his earthly ministry, what happened? John the Baptist saw him from afar off, and he said, behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world. He announced Jesus to the Jewish people. He announced him. He says, this is the Messiah. This is the Savior. He entered in by that way. Also, I believe, more importantly, we could look at it as the Holy Spirit. This porter is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus when he was being baptized, and when he came up out of the water. The Holy Spirit ascended down upon him as a dove. And the Word of God came from heaven and pronounced him. He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Hear ye him. And so the porter openeth the door. And what happens? And the sheep hear his voice. You see, when Jesus enters the sheepfold, the true sheep, they hear his voice. There's not any mistake in that. Don't ever think that when Jesus speaks, someone's going to turn their head from it. I know a lot of times when I'm speaking, there's people go to sleep. There's people that they maybe, you know, they're not listening, stuff like that. But listen, when Jesus speaks, when Jesus calls your name, you will hear. You will hear him. That's a promise of Scripture. The Scripture promises that the sheep hear his voice. They hear him when he comes into the sheepfold. Now listen, you are not, you don't make yourself a sheep. Let me just go into some theology here. No one makes themselves sheep. Nobody in Israel that was not a sheep could make themselves a sheep of God. You see that? You are a sheep if you hear the Word of God. You can't make yourself hear, and you cannot hear if you're a goat. God chooses a people. He chose the people before the foundations of the earth. He chose a people. Those are his sheep. And those sheep that he came to save, they will hear his voice when he enters into the sheepfold. The sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. So many illustrations here in the Bible. We have Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs. Remember, Jesus passed by, said, follow me. And he got up and he followed him. Followed him. No question. Just followed him. We remember Zacchaeus. Remember, he was walking through Jericho. He looked up in the tree. There's Zacchaeus up in the tree. He said, get down here. I'm going to your house today. No question. He followed him. He went. He took him to his house. The Lord saved him. Philip. Same way. Lord passed by Philip. He said, follow me. Followed him.
right behind him. No question. Isn't that something?
Well, not with God, it isn't. It's a little thing for God. It's a little thing for God. Follow me. Lazarus. Jesus stood before, we'll read in John chapter 11, he stood before the grave of Lazarus and he said, Lazarus, come forth. What happened? Lazarus came forth. He came right forth from the grave. Turned over to John 20. Let me show you something. John 20. It's a beautiful story of when Mary Magdalene, she runs to the grave of Jesus. And verse 15, she's looking for him. And Jesus saith unto her, she couldn't find him in the grave. He's risen. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? This is John 20, verse 15. And she, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, listen to what Jesus saith unto her, Mary. Mary just called her by name. That's what he did. And she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say master. He called her by name. He called her by name. And then it says in here, it says in verse 3 of John 10, he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. He leadeth them out. Listen, this is why we know that this is the sheepfold of Judaism. Because Christ doesn't lead his people out of the true church. He leads them into the true church. He leads these people out of Judaism. Into what? Into himself. Into Christianity. Into Christ. Verse 4. Listen to what this says. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he putteth forth. Do we understand our position in Christ? What we have in Christ, and him being our shepherd, we being the sheep. The scripture says, what manner of love is this, that we might be called the sons of God? What position we have as the sheep. The psalmist wrote, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Oh, what a position we have. But it says here, it says he putteth forth his own sheep, and he goeth before them. I want us also to remember what sheep are. Sheep are not the smartest of animals, are they? They really aren't. They're in fact, they could be considered dumb, and most people would consider sheep dumb. They would. I remember the story of this little boy. He was going to school. I don't know. He's in third or fourth grade, something like that. And the teacher had just came from the city, and she went to this country school. And she didn't know anything about farming or anything. She was trying to teach these kids their subtraction tables. And so she was writing on the board. She wrote 5 minus 1. And she turns around and she thought she would come up with maybe an analogy for the kids so that they would understand a little bit better. So she pointed to the back of the room at this young little one back there in the back of the room. And she said, do you know what 5 minus 1 is? And the little boy just kind of looked at her. He said, well, let me put it this way. She said, if you were to have 5 sheep in a field, and one of those sheep got out of that field, she said, how many sheep would you have left? And the little boy looks at her, and no hesitation whatsoever, he said, we wouldn't have any sheep left. And the lady said, son, you don't know anything about your subtraction tables. And the little boy looked at her and said, you don't know anything about sheep. And so that's pretty much where we're at here. These sheep, he goeth before them. He leads them. He must lead us. If Christ were to leave us for a moment, if Christ were to leave his sheep for a moment, we'd be gone. We'd be in the nearest ditch we could find. We'd be stuck in the nearest muck hole we could find. And all of us would follow one another right to that muck hole. We would. But God has promised that Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, will lead his sheep. He's not going to lead his sheep into muck holes. He's not going to lead his sheep into false doctrine. He's not going to lead them there. He's going to lead them into truth. The sheep follow him, and they know his voice. Do you know the voice of the shepherd? Have you heard him? Have you heard him call your name? Oh, the sheep know his voice, and they follow him. Listen to verse 5. And a stranger will they not follow?
but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Isn't that something? In this day and age of so many false teachers and false prophets coming into the church. If you were to listen to all that is going on and all that is being taught in this country right now, it's like I've said before, we have certain people that are around. We have this neighbor in particular that is very caught up in these things that he believes are going to happen in this country. And there's so many false prophets that are coming up on the scene and trying to lead the children of God. And if they could, turn over to Matthew 24 real quick. Let me just read this to you. Matthew 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible. Now, if you have a pencil or a pen, I want you to underline that. That's very important that we remember that. That should bring us peace. That should bring comfort to the souls of God's sheep. That if it were possible. It's not possible. It's not possible. But if it were possible, they should deceive even the elect of God. It is impossible. It isn't possible. Why? Because Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep. And if God saved, you know what that would be saying? That would be saying that the devil can take something that's Christ. That's what it's saying. The devil can't take anything that's Christ. It's his. The Father has given these sheep to the Son. He has given them to him. The devil can't take them away. He can't do that. Oh, that we might rejoice in our King, in our Savior, in our Shepherd. Verse 6, listen to this. Well, the end of that verse 5, it says, but we'll flee from him. They're not just going to not follow. And for a time, there are some that will follow. They'll hear a false teaching and they may follow for a moment. They're not going to stay in it. That's the mark of a true Christian, a mark of a true child of God, is they're not going to stay there. And they hear these men speak. They'll hear them. They'll see the teeth of the wolves. They'll see it. And they're going to run. They're going to flee. They'll flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Oh, do we understand what it means to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit? To be alive, to be made alive by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit that discerns the Word of God. It is that Spirit that was within us, the Spirit of Christ. If that Spirit is within us, how can we be deceived? How can we truly be deceived? For they know not the voice of strangers. Verse 6, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. What a contrast between these two verses. You have verse 5 that talks about these sheep that will never flee. They will never go away forever. And you have these ones spoken of in verse 6 that they cannot understand any of it. They have no understanding of any of it. They were dead in their trespasses and sins. Look at verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. What's he saying here? Well, I believe we're seeing here the second place where he talks about a door. And he talks about him being the door of the sheep. And this would be, he's the door of this sheepfold. In other words, he's the door out of it. And what is he saying here? He's saying David. He's saying Abraham. He's saying Moses. He's saying all of the prophets, the true prophets of God. He's saying all these men came through me. If they are saved men, if they are in the kingdom, if they have been brought out, if they have been led, they have come through me. There's no other way. There isn't. A lot of people will look at the Old Testament and they'll say, well, the Old Testament saints were saved by works. They were saved by what they did. They were saved by how good a people they are. No, they were saved by Christ. They were saved by going through the door. That's how they're saved. And so Jesus is speaking very clearly when he says, I am the door of the sheep. Listen to verse 8. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. All of these prophets and false prophets and all of these ones that claim to be the Christ and the Messiah. All of them. They're all false prophets. But listen to this. But the sheep did not hear them. The true sheep did not hear them. Do we see the sovereignty of God? Do we see the power of God in what is being spoken of? Do we see the grace of God? Listen to verse 9. It says, I am the door. I am the door. Now, this is speaking of really another sheepfold. He's speaking of the sheepfold of all of the elect, is he not? I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, let's talk about this door just a little bit. It's a very simple illustration, isn't it? Door. Why does the Lord use such a simple illustration? Well, because we're sheep. He uses a very simple illustration. To go out of this place, you're going to have to go through two doors. This one's not closed, so you'll walk through this one, but you're going to walk to that one. That one's going to be closed, and you're going to have to go through it. When you get to your car, you're going to have to come up to a door. You're going to have to open it up. You're going to have to go in it. When you get home, you're going to have to walk up to a door, aren't you? And you're going to have to open the door. You're going to have to go in it. We're going to have to go through two doors to get in our home. You might have to go to the bathroom later. You're going to have to go through a door. If you're going to go to bed, you're going to have to go through a door. See how simple this is? Simple as you're reminded of it over and over and over and over and over through the day. Oh, that when we come to these doors, right, that we would think of Christ. Each time we come to this door, that we would think of Christ and we would understand something of this illustration. Well, the first thing I want to see in this is the necessity of the door. There must be a door. We just redid our barn and we put garage doors on the front of our barn and we put a door on the side. And I went and got a handle for the door and I accidentally got the one that always locks. You shut the door, it locks, you can't get back in it. I got to have the key. It's amazing how many people keep coming up to me. You got the key. You got the key to the door. You got the key to the door. Everybody's focused on that door right now. Before, there was no focus on a door. You could walk in anywhere in a barn. I mean, it's wide open. You could walk in any area of the barn you wanted to. But now everybody's focused on that door, and they're focused on the key to get in the door. Very good illustration. We must focus on the door this morning. We must focus on Christ because he is the only way in. There's the necessity of the door. What happens if we were to study the kingdom of God this morning, and all we could do was look in it? And I would tell you these great and magnificent things about the kingdom, about heaven, about what glory it's going to be in heaven. But there was no way in. It was like granite walls all the way around it. There may be some little windows in there. We got some little windows in the front of our barn now, and you can look in and you can see the tools that are needed, but you can't get in the barn because you can't get in because there's no key. Right? He's got the key and he's gone somewhere. Right? Christ is the door. He is the only door. But there is a door. There is the door. He is the door. And he's the only door. The scripture says, by me. By me. Listen to what it says. I am the door. By me. By me. He is the only door. If you try to get in any other way, you steal God's glory. That's what you're going to do. You're going to steal his glory. You try to climb up the side and get in that way, you're going to steal the glory of God. You're a thief. You're a robber. You can't come that way. You must go through the door. You have to. That's the only way into the kingdom. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. Christ Jesus is the door. What happens if someone comes up to you this week and says, how can I be saved? How is it that I can be saved? How can I possibly receive mercy? How could I possibly be healed of the many things that so haunt me? Things that are just terrible in my life. How can I be healed of these things? How can this happen? What would we say? Jesus is the door. Jesus is the door. You must go through him. That would be what we said. You say, okay, well, does that mean they might say, does that mean we need to copy him? Maybe we need to imitate him? Maybe we need to act like him? Is that what you're saying? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you got to go through the door. You must go through the door. That's what you must do. Now, the Catholic would say, now, wait a minute. Stop for a second. You got to lead them to the Mass. They've got to have the Mass. They've got to have the ceremony. They've got to have the pomp. They've got to have all these things. They've got to have the Pope. They've got to have the priest. They must have these. No. They've got to go through the door. That's what they must have. The Campbellites, Church of Christ, man, he might come to you and say, no, stop. Acts 2:38. You must be baptized in order to be saved. You've got to be baptized. No, you've got to go through the door. That's what you got to do. You got to go through the door. There's nothing in there about baptism. You must go through the door. Baptism is a type. It's a picture. It's symbolic of what going through the door is. It's being unified with Christ Jesus in his death and his burial and his resurrection. When you come up forth out of the water, it's as if you are entering in through the door. It's a picture of what has already happened. I tell you what, the doctrines of grace guy, a lot of them in sovereign grace, you know what they might say? They say, well, you got to have doctrine. You got to have sound doctrine. You must. That's the door. You got to go through Christ. That's it. That's what Christ is saying. You got to go through Christ. Now, I'm not making light of any of these things. I'm not making light of baptism. Oh, that men would be saved, that they might be baptized. What about holy living? Say, well, I think holy living is something that must be done. No. If you're holy before you go in, you're not going to go in. You're not going to go in. You come to that door, you come a sinner. You come vile, you come wretched, you come wicked, you come exactly how you are, you walk up to that door, and you go through it. Christ heals. Christ saves. Christ does the work. It's his finished work. You saying you don't have to be holy to be saved? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying when you get to the other side of that door, Christ makes us holy. He makes us holy. He does that work within us. We are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his what? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that have been before ordained that we should walk in them. Sounds like a done deal, doesn't it? That sounds like the sovereignty of God. That sounds like my God. Very simple illustration. Another one is the children of Israel in Egypt. You remember when they were being led out of Egypt and they were, the death angel was going to pass by. Remember that the children of Israel were told to do what? They were told to sacrifice and to get the blood, and they were to take that blood and they were to put it on the doorpost and the mantle, and what? You get inside. You get inside. You remember what the scripture says? It says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I'll pass over you. Doesn't say anything. What happens if you're standing in the door and you got your foot sticking out like that? Huh? Can you see me? I ain't good enough. The glory all goes to God. It all goes to Christ. You must go through the door. You must. It says here, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in. Any man. Say, I ain't smart enough to be saved. It's not. You don't have to be smart to be saved. So I just not learned enough. I don't have enough background. I don't know. Be quiet. Go through the door. Go through the door. You say, well, there's some things I've got to clean up. I need to clean up my act some. I need to get ready to go through the door. Listen, if you got to get ready to go through the door, you're never going to go through the door. Any man, Jew, Gentile, barbarian, Scythian, bond free, it doesn't matter. Any man can go through that door. You must go. You must go. It says, if I am the door, by me any man enter in, you must go through it. He shall be saved. What does it mean to be saved? What does it mean to be saved? I heard this illustration once that the Armenian preaches a gospel where it's all door and no house. And the hyper-Calvinist preaches all house and no door. What does it mean to be saved? It means you come through the door and you live in the house. You're in the house now. You're a child of God. What does that mean? It means you're saved. You're saved. You're saved from the guilt of sin. You're saved from the power of sin. And one day we're going to be saved from the presence of sin. Can you imagine that? Saved from the presence of sin. I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And listen to this. And shall go in and out and find pasture. Every commentator you read on this, go in and out. He says this, speaking of liberty. Speaking of liberty. We have the liberty to go in and out, out and in. Out. We have the liberty to lie down at night. You know what we got? We have the liberty to lie down at night and go to sleep. And realize that if we don't wake up in the morning, you know what? We're going to be with the Lord. We're going to be with the Lord. That's liberty. That's liberty. We have liberty to go out in this world and realize that all of the trials and the struggles and the crosses, these things are all given by a loving God, and we only get them if God gives them to us. That's the only reason why we're going to give them. We understand that all things work together for good to them that love God. We understand that. We have the liberty to go out believing that. We also have the liberty to come in. Do we understand that as a people? That we have the liberty, as Christ's sheep, we have the liberty to come to Christ. We have the liberty to enter into His presence, that we can fellowship with Him, that we can pray to Him. That we can seek His face in the Scripture and we can find Him. That He will not hide Himself from us. That He is ever near us. That we have that. That we can enter into Him. We have the liberty to do that. People talk about Christian liberty and stuff that we have. That people believe that we believe. There's some people believe that we believe that you can just go out and just live in sin if you're a sovereign grace person. That's nonsense. That is absolute nonsense. I don't know where they get that. We have the liberty to live for Christ now. We have the liberty to love Him. We have the liberty to long for His Word. We have the liberty to be fed. Oh, what great liberty that is. Come and go. But we do have liberty. We're not bound. We're not chained to some formal ritualistic religion, some dead, cold, legalistic, orthodox nothing. We're not chained to it. We're set free. We're set free to serve God. And we're also, listen to what this says, we shall go in and out and find pasture. Turn back over to Ezekiel 34. We'll end with this. We don't have time to get into verse 10. We'll deal with that next week. Ezekiel 34. We're going to find pasture. Listen to, starting with verse 12. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture. And upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock,
and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. Let's have the Lord's Supper here if we can.